Nearly 200 countries are taking part in a climate summit in Poland, which aims to build on the Paris summit that took place in 2015. That's just one of the big international stories taking place in the coming days. And with me for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. And Rob, what are the key points we should be looking for at this two-week summit in Poland?
Well, Mark, the UN meeting in Poland will feature 40 heads of state and government, so it's quite a big one. It's the most important since the Paris Accord 3 years ago, 2015. Now, last week, the UN issued a report showing a big gap between what countries pledged to do in the Paris Climate Accord and what they actually are doing. And that, of course, is a big issue in climate change. What are your pledges and what are you actually doing on the ground? Remember, Paris was an agreement to keep global temperature rises to less than 2 degrees Celsius this century. The US has, of course, pulled out of the Paris Accord, but other countries, notably France and indeed the EU as a whole, have made major promises. So the conference this week and next in Poland is once again about getting countries to commit to some degree, but in particular, it's to get them to follow through on those commitments.
Rob, is it all bad news for the climate, though?
Well, not really, because there's a silver lining if you are prepared to look hard enough. The UN report places a lot of hope in what it calls non-state actors. That means local, city, regional governments, businesses, and higher education institutions. The UN estimates that right now more than 7,000 cities around the world in 130-odd countries and 6,000 companies or businesses with more than $30 trillion in revenue between them have pledged to take climate action. But the same authors will tell you this is only scratching the surface. With over 500,000 publicly traded companies worldwide, there are many more that could take steps, and that cumulatively, that would have a really significant impact.
All right, Rob, a pretty important anniversary coming up later this week. It'll be 1 year since President Trump declared his intention to move the U.S. embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Yes, Mark, you'll recall at the time that President Trump announced it was time for everyone to acknowledge the de facto situation. And even though Jerusalem is claimed as a capital by both Palestinians, East Jerusalem and Israelis, it should be home to the U.S. embassy, he said. So the embassy officially moved from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem earlier this year.
Now, at the time, Israel also said several other countries were ready to follow suit. At least 10 was what Israel had said at the time. How many countries have made the switch?
Well, it depends on how you count. Actual countries that have made the move number, with the US, just two. Guatemala is the other. Paraguay had announced plans to move its embassy, but that was a decision made by an outgoing president. His replacement said the decision was made without discussing it with him, and he did a U-turn. But I should say other countries, Brazil and Australia amongst them, have said they're considering the move, a similar move for their embassies. But right now, the number is just two.
All right, Rob, finally this morning, a bit of hope for the people of Yemen later this week. What's going on there?
Well, Mark, of course, the war in Yemen is a brutal one, and it's had a high international profile for some time. It's been on our front pages. You'll know that. A lot of people talking about it. Its roots lie in the Arab Spring, when Yemen's president was forced out of office. He then allied with a rebel group called the Houthis, and a civil war ensued. But then that same former president and the Houthis, his allies, had a falling out. They even went on to kill him. Now, neighboring Saudi Arabia then stepped in with various coalition partners to support Yemen's government against the Houthis, who it accuses of being backed by its huge regional rival, Iran, of course. And of course, since then, the war has just raged on. The good news is there are possible peace talks this week on the horizon. There have been peace talks planned before, but this week in Sweden could see the first time both sides actually sit down to discuss their issues.
So, Rob, what's changed that peace talks are more possible now?
Well, a few things. One is international awareness of the humanitarian crisis taking place in Yemen. Aside from the people killed, the UN reckons some 12 million people and 500,000 children are at risk of famine. The healthcare system, of course, there has collapsed. We hear report after report about cholera on the rise and so on. But another major factor was the killing of that Saudi journalist, Jamal Khashoggi. That has brought a torrent of criticism against Saudi Arabia internationally. The U.S. Senate weighed in. It voted recently to withdraw American support for the Saudi side of the conflict. And bear in mind, the US provides more than 60% of Saudi Arabia's arms imports. So the Saudis, you might say, are having to bow somewhat to international pressure. And of course, the killing of that journalist in Istanbul handed the Houthis an almost perfect propaganda victory against the Saudis and their allies. Take a listen to my colleague, Orla Guerin, speaking with the leader of the Houthis, Mohammed al-Houthi, recently.
When we sat down, he said the Saudis had shown the world what Yemenis already know, with the brutal killing of the journalist Jamal Khashoggi.
They just unveiled the face that was already obvious to the Yemeni people. The Yemeni people suffer executions and cover-ups. If there was as much coverage for the Yemeni people as there was for Jamal Khashoggi, and if there was coverage of the crimes committed here by the Saudis and the Americans, then Yemen would be in a different situation today.
So, Mark, you can see how far apart these two sides really are, and that's why peace talks, or possible peace talks, held this week, later this week in Sweden, could be such a big news story. I should just say that the good news today is that the Saudis have agreed to a UN demand to allow 50 wounded Houthi rebels out of Yemen to get treatment in Oman. That is a goodwill gesture ahead of these talks. So what can I say? Fingers crossed.
All right, fingers crossed indeed. That's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
And to you, Mark. Thank you.